radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 13. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says Abraham believed God and was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how it is. And we are all sons of Abraham when we do as he did. He says he would make Abraham a father of many nations, and that's how that happens. And he says, in Abraham the nations would be blessed because he brought us the secret to salvation. And so lawlessness is somebody who, you know, throws all that to the wind, sometimes becomes anti-Semitic, doesn't understand the realities of the Scriptures. He says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in verse 28. What happened a minute ago? You shall all likewise perish. Can many be saved? Do you see what this passage is doing? He's saying, guys, listen, there is a way that is right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. He says, listen, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourself thrust out. You know he's talking to the rulers. He talked to them earlier when he said, those who knew got many stripes. Those who didn't know very much, they'll get few stripes. But there's a greater damnation to the leaders. He says, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. He's talking about millennial kingdom now. He says, this is going to happen. The church is going to be born on Pentecost, but a little more than 2,000 years is going to go by, and all of a sudden he's going to take that bride out, and then you're going to be as men waiting for the bridegroom to return from the wedding. He says that's the disposition. And Jews were on the shelf for all those years. They're still a people because God's people have his promise. David was told, I will never allow you to cease to have a seed to sit upon the throne of David. Jesus has not sat upon that throne. He is the rightful heir. He is coming back. And you and I see him saying as much right here. And these Pharisees wanted a ruler on this earth where they got high seats and front rows and all the stuff, but they wouldn't change their disposition or their minds. And he says, they shall come from the east, from the west, to sit down in the kingdom of God. And notice he says in verse 30, it says, there are last that shall be first, and there are first that shall be last. That makes more sense when you understand it as before Jesus died and how the Israel went under blindness for 2,000 years, and after Jesus comes to get his church and all Israel is saved, 144,000 Jewish evangelists, then you have a multitude being saved, and you have Israel in a day seeing him whom they pierced. And when the Lord Jesus comes back and saves them at the critical moment, steps on the Mount of Olives, splits it in two, they run into it, come out on the other side, and it's a happy day. And Jesus is here, and David is here, and Moses is here, and all the people who've been running for their lives because Antichrist is altogether after them, trying to destroy them. Oh, that would never happen. Think Hitler. Think Haman. Think the pogroms in Russia. The people of Israel have been constantly hounded throughout the ages. And what we're seeing is it's going to happen. And he's going to call them all back. If you want to put in your margin, Isaiah 66, verses 18 and following, it says, God speaking, I know their works and their thoughts. And it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. All nations are going to see my glory. And what is his glory? He says, and I will set a sign among them. I will send those that escaped of them unto the nations. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And I skipped all the nations' names. What he said is, he says, I'm going to bring all the nations up. They're going to watch this happen. And I'm going to call for my people, Israel, who are hiding out in the dens and the caves. And he says, and they're going to come back. And when they see you come back, they're all going to stand. Even though the bride is there, honored in the wedding, this is going to be a big day for the Gentiles on earth who went through the tribulations. They're going to see the Jews coming back. And they're going to say, you got to be kidding me. Them? Yeah, them. Why? Because they are his glory. Why are they his glory? Because they weathered the storm for like 2,000 years in walking even more by faith than we do because they didn't have the outcome laid out for them. We walk by faith, not by sight. But man, we know so much about what's coming. Listen, he says, and those Jews that come out of the hills and the nations, he says, they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall. He says, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord. In other words, they, the Gentiles, will begin to carry them. The Gentiles of the tribulation, he says, they're going to carry them. They're going to bring them as an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses, chariots, and in litters. You know what a litter is, right? That's that little thing you put on your shoulder, a couple guys on either corner, and they're carrying people. They're carrying them back. Lord Jesus, the Jews are here. Let's let the party begin. I'm telling you, east, west, north, south, Jesus is going to come and get the Jewish people. They shouldn't even exist today. The miracle is promised, and the miracle is culminating as we speak. God is bringing these people along. The Bible says that they shall bring your brethren on all these implements. And he says, they're going to ride upon mules and swift beasts to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, said the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And what he's saying is, he says the Gentiles are going to bring them just like a Jew would have brought a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. These people are huge in God's economy. The Bible says in verse 29, they shall come from the east and the west and sit down in the kingdom of God. It's going to exacerbate those people's damnation who he's talking to in real time and in this passage. Verse 30 says, and many of them that are last are going to be first, many first are going to be last. You see that in the continuum I laid out a moment ago. Verse 31 says, the same day they went out certain Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart, for Herod will kill you. Did you just see who told him this? It was the Pharisees. Why? Because he's really trying to win them. He really is. And they're kind of conflicted. I mean, he did give fingers to withered hands. He did heal people. He did raise the dead. And some of them are really mulling this thing over, and they warn him. He says, I got to do cures. And that's the word I told you I'd tell you about in a minute. This is the only Greek word for curing things. That is a medical word that only Luke uses. He uses it three times. He uses it here. He says, behold, in verse 32, I cast out devils and I do cures. And that is a physical healing. I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He's talking about all of the things that he's going to be doing. He's got work to do. And the other place that it's used is in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, verses 22 and verse 30. I won't go there for now. He says in verse 33, he says, but I must walk today and tomorrow and the next day. He says, but it's true that a prophet must not perish outside of Jerusalem. And this is how he winds it down. He says, listen, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, here I am in you. He says, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. Underline those words, you would not. For every electionist who thinks nobody can resist God's will, he said, I would have done it, but you would not. You were not willing. You would not. Listen, you choose. You choose. Nobody's choosing for you, and I choose Jesus. I hope you will too. And I hope you have, and I hope you're not in this kind of, vortex like I told them. I hope you're not confused and think you're in and you're not. The fowls come in, they think they're good. You know, the chaff and the wheat, those all are things that need to be pondered here. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And people think they're going, and they're going to wake up and not know what's happened. They wouldn't have been gathered. They wouldn't have been tossed. They would have been perishing. No rest, day or night, forever and ever, because they would not go to Jesus on His terms. May I say unto you, He makes it clear, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He's not trying to lay a burden. He fulfilled the demands of the law, and He paid the whole rate, the whole freight for you to get in. It's a gift now. It's not complicated, except that we think we're so smart sometimes that we will not give Him a clear hearing and understand His program is completely laid out for us, and we can get on board with Him. And these people are being called to do that. Verse 35 says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's going to happen for 2,000 years. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, because he's saying this in the synoptics, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together. You remember he said that on the donkey coming in, right? He came in and they were saying, Hosanna, blessed be he that came in the name of the Lord. But now he's saying, this idea is set before us that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, and that's going to happen. That's going to be happening in those last days. Psalm 18, 118, verse 22, it says, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Jesus is the cornerstone. He says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Save now. Psalm 118. I beseech thee, save now, O Lord. I beseech thee, send prosperity now. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever and ever. Psalm 118. This is called a psalm of ascent. When they would go down to Jerusalem for the Passover, they would be singing these psalms. Bind the sacrifice to the altar. So when Jesus gets bound to the cross during the Passover season, this is what everybody said coming, but none of them saw that the Lamb of God was dying in real time, right there, that day, that time, and that they were saying the words as they came. But there's coming a time, Isaiah 40 says it this way, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, don't be afraid. These are meek people now. They've been spanked for 2,000 years. And he's saying in Isaiah 40, lift up your voice. Go ahead, lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Jesus is the arm of the Lord. He will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him. Millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. You see, this passage is one of those where Jesus is really trying to get people to change their mind. He's saying, listen, I need you to get on board here because there's a lot of people who think they are and they're not. I don't know about you, but that's what we understand. It's going to happen during the church age. It's called Laodicean church age. People are going to think that we tell the church what to do and the church does what we tell them to do. That's Laodicea. The people rule. And that's what's happening. People in pulpits many times will put their finger in the air and feel which way the wind's blowing and give them what they want. That's why we have all of the corruption in churches across America and the world. There's all kinds of things. Covetousness driving churches, and wickedness is driving churches, and compromise is driving churches, and people are getting behind Black Lives Matter. And I say that because Black Lives Matter is true, but Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization, and it has nothing to do with Black Lives Mattering. So they're getting behind this as if they're dupes, and they have no clue of what they're doing because their eyes are blinded. Beloved, you're living in a day of chaos spiritually. That's why, again, the words come to mind very powerfully. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because you and I may look really good compared to some, but it really doesn't matter about what others look like. What matters is, what does Jesus think? What does Jesus say? Am I standing in my place with Jesus in the proper way? Because he has a proper way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father except by me. So all other things are really details. And we need to make sure we've got him in the proper place. And when we do, we can find ourselves, well, loosed. Be ye loosed from your infirmity, lady, he said. And she was straightened right out. One of the places where the word being made whole is used, which is not the same word for cure, but being made whole is used, is with that demoniac from Gadara. He was sitting up straight and in his right mind and clothed. It's also used in the idea of your speech. God can make your speech straight. He can make your walk straight. He can make your dressing of yourselves straight. God fixes us. And I needed a lot of fixing. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week.
But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.